Praise the Lord. Amen. Great to be here. We'll be here for the next also 2 weeks, so it's good. We're kind of taking up residence more and more, which is a wonderful blessing for my dear wife and myself. I'm very excited about Vision Sunday because anything about coming to church excites me. As long as Jesus is in the house, right?
Amen.
Remember, we want the God of the vision more than the vision of God. We need both, but we need the God of the house. Amen? I want to bring a couple of messages this week and next just to help center our attention, if you like. And so before I get into that, I'm going to ask Chin to come and read the scripture to us, and she'll tell you what she's reading in. Thank you, Chin.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to request everybody, if you are able, to please stand with us for the reading of the word found in Proverbs chapter 27, verses 17 to 18. I'll be reading first in Bisaya, a language most commonly spoken in the Visayas and Mindanao Islands in the Philippines. That's Proverbs 29, verses 17 to 18. Mga panultihon, 29:17 ngadto sa 18. Disiplinaha ang imong anak ug hatagan kaniyag kalinaw ug kalipay. Kun walay mensahe sa Dios nga magiya sa nasod, wala kini kahusay. Bulahan ang mga tawo nga nagatuman sa katuguan sa Dios. Proverbs 19:17-18. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. God bless the reading of his word. Let us all sit down.
Thank you, Chin. God bless you. Father, we do thank you for your word, which is rich and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would enliven the word to us, that you would bring revelation to us, you would open our hearts, our eyes to see, our hearts to understand. And Lord, let your word permeate us and change us into the very people that you desire us to be. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Often we read the next verse without reference to the first, so I figured we need to, somewhere between now and the end of the message, get the context. Then it goes on to say in verse 18, where there is no vision. I'm not sure what Chin's version said. Did it say revelation? Or?
Revelation.
I'm going to explain the verse shortly, but in a minute. The people are unrestrained or they live carelessly. But happy is the one who keeps the law. Amen? Amen. So, we're going to find out. As we prepare ourselves, I figured it's good to, when we talk about vision, to set some foundations because some people get overexcited on vision as if it's their vision and God wants to get behind everything they want to do. It's more important that we get behind what God wants to do. So when we speak about vision here, we're speaking about what God sees first. And that is the foundation upon which we build our goals and our dreams, if you like. And so there's instruction here for the church. But there's also, you can hear with many ears, there's instruction here for our family lives. It starts off talking about sons, which could be daughters. In the wider sense, everything that comes from you is like you're giving birth to. It needs to come onto this foundation. So on Sunday the 3rd of May, which is 2 weeks away, we will be gathering at their normal time for a unique and special church service. It's no more special than any time we meet, to be honest, because every time we come to worship the Lord, we're engaging in the visions of God. But it is a time of change in the world, is it not? And I am a bit of a observer of church life down the centuries, and also more particularly how we live today. And we are in times of change, always, actually. If we don't move, friends, everything else will move and we'll be left standing at the station. It doesn't mean the fundamentals are changing. It just means that things are different. And many people, I find it very difficult, a great deal of difficulty in adjusting to new ways for new days. How we relate to young people today is far different from what it might have been 20 years ago. How you relate to me is very different from when I was in the teenage group. But nevertheless, we want to keep moving and shaping, but keeping the foundation secure. So I'm going to talk about that. So when we talk about vision, we're actually, and where we're going as a church family, we're actually on a road which is well traveled by the Lord. And His infinite wisdom, His immutability, and His omnipresence and His eternality, He understands the beginning from the end. He sees from outside of time. Time is a created commodity in which we work until Jesus returns. And God knows the beginning from the end. The only problem is we don't know either. He knows, but we're trying to follow along faithfully in the whole of life to get where He wants us to be. And that's why there are foundational principles that will keep us firm. And so we're going to come along on the 3rd of May on this road that the Lord knows all about. And we want to connect ourselves in and announce to ourselves our refusal to camp in just one place. And we want to move. We want to announce our determination to keep on toward the upward call. This is more important than the things we will do. Who will we become? You know, I'm getting a bit older now, but I'm more determined in my spirit than ever I was. I'm more enlivened by the Lord than ever I was. I'm more thankful than ever I was. I want to worship harder and closer and deeper and higher than ever I did. Amen?
Amen.
And so this is the stuff of faith. It does us good. It's good for health, by the way. Faith is good for our health. Our determination to keep on toward the upward call to reach more people for Jesus, yes? We don't want to become just happy in our own gathering. We want to reach more and bring more people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring them into our church family and find a place that is truly a place they can belong in, where Jesus Christ is surely the main focus, our main motivation, and our Lord. Amen? We want to reach greater heights of intimacy with Him in our worship. The Spirit of God is here to enable us in our worship to reach high points, to touch heaven, and even mysteriously bring heaven down to earth. Worship and thanksgiving is the gateway to heaven. Amen? Thank you, worship team, for what you're doing. Chin, thank you for your input. They're obviously seen before us, but we're invigorated,
Amen.
Blessed. We want to plumb greater depths in His Word. I don't know how long I go on, I don't know about you, but every time I read certain verses, like even these verses I've known so well, my method is to ponder until the Word becomes alive in my heart. I keep meditating on it. I might read it how many times, I don't know, over a period of weeks to let it take root. I'm amazed how much revelation there is, even despite all these years in the Word. There's always, it's not new to God, but it's something new to me. And a new touch where your heart is warmed. You know, if there's no affection generated by the Word and our prayer and our worship, then we haven't quite touched the reason for our being. You know what I mean by affection? Our hearts are warmed in the midst of every circumstance, and we want to keep on moving. I love it what it says in Deuteronomy. You can pop up those guys, just leave that there. That'll thank you so much. This is what the Lord said concerning the camping of the people of God around Mount Sinai, or Horeb, it's often referred to, same mountain. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, This is where Moses went up the mountain, got the Ten Commandments. You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon. This is a summary of all those verses. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. So it's one thing to camp around the experience of God, and the first Pentecost was on Mount Sinai. Thunder and lightning and the word of God given on tablets of stone, and we're Pentecostals, we recognize what was occurring there on the day of Pentecost. Thunder and lightning and the giving of the word now written on the tablet of the heart by the Spirit. But you know, for all the wonder of the experience, of the initial experience of the Spirit, of the meeting place with God, as any called person, any prophet in the Testaments has ever experienced, their ministries began with a touch of God. Amen. But we can't camp around the initial experience. There's a land to be taken. Amen. Spiritual land, emotional land, even I guess God wants his kingdom to come upon the whole earth, so there's geographic land. But you know, we can't camp around our experience. This is so powerful. You've dwelt long enough at this mountain. This is the most powerful experience that people have had in their whole lives up till this point. And here's Moses meeting with God on the mountain. Would he not want to stay there? But you've camped around this mountain long enough. For many of us here, pastoral point, we've got to be so careful that we don't reach a goal in life that, oh man, it was so hard to get to. But then we camp around that and we'll not move further. It's just the blessing of God to enable us and equip us for further glory, because we exist only for the furtherance of the gospel. And we'll be blessed as a byproduct of seeking first the kingdom. Some people try and get the stuff and then they'll believe God. My discovery is, if I seek first the kingdom, then the stuff comes. Yeah. Amen? But see, this is why the scripture we're going to look at is so important, because no matter how well-versed we are in the scripture, no matter how we feel we believe, no matter how we declare we believe, when there are circumstances that begin to press on us, it's so easy, even as Christians, to revert to natural thinking and try and solve the problem. I mean, you're looking at a problem solver right here. I'm my own problem. I'm my own worst enemy. But I'm learning. My wife is the Holy Spirit's helper. She says, wait. So I've learned. I never send emails out or anything other than to say when the meeting's at without leaving it overnight to think about my words. I'm learning not to have a conversation. I'm learning not to race off and sell something, get a bigger loan just because suddenly I'm under pressure. I'm learning that God has a way. Amen. And under pressure, we can forget the principle. I'm only saying that because I'm with you. But we have to be so careful that we don't just say amen and leave this place and go and do what the very thing you knew you shouldn't do. I don't say it's a sin. I'm just saying it's not wise. The only wisdom we have, my friends, as we enter into these visionary days, is in the mind of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So that's what I'm learning. And so the challenges of change, we don't embrace change easily for these reasons. God-given vision will always involve change. It'll involve a change in the way we think. It'll involve the change in the way we do things. It'll challenge us to get out of our comfort zones. You know, I kind of learned most of my ministry and most of the things, like I learned to ride a bike when I was just a little fellow, about that tall. My bigger, older brother had a bike, which is even bicycles come in sizes. This is about as big as they got. And when I crossed the bar, my feet wouldn't even touch the ground. Painful experience learning to ride a bike. But the point is, I always learned by jumping off the deep end. The first funeral I had to run, I didn't know how to do a funeral, and I didn't go to, nobody taught me. So I just went along to a funeral. I found one on the pay. There was a funeral on down the road. I went down and sat there and watched what the minister did. It was before I had to lead my first funeral, so I thought, okay, I'll make notes on that. I'll pray a little harder. And then over time, I've done it my own way. But But you know, we need to be willing to step off the deep end if we're going to learn to swim. Amen? And it's kind of exciting because God meets us halfway through the air. And the grace of God comes to bear. So this brings us to our scripture. Correct your son, and he'll give you comfort. He'll also delight your soul, whereas no vision, the people are unrestrained. Now, because of my background in church life and upbringing, the old pastors used to always link this to the church must have a vision. It's my vision that matters, especially the pastor's vision. What do I see that we'll have a hospital in some far distant country in 10 years' time. I see 10,000 people coming together. This is our vision. And I see you giving all your money to it. Well, the money needs to come. I admit to that, because that's always a constraining factor. But that's not actually a vision. Those are goals. Are you with me? And so when we speak here of the word vision, that's why some translations say revelation. And some translations are more specific. They say prophetic revelation. Does that mean we need a charismatic prophet to come through and tell us? Not at all. It means, and that may be useful in some ways, the gift of the prophetic gift, but it's talking about the prophets of old. Often you'll find when you read the prophets of old in the Old Testament, they will speak in visionary terms. God gave me a vision. Now, they might have seen something like a vision, but actually, vision in this sense really means God's word. It's interchangeable in that context. In other words, the prophets of old brought to the people what God saw. Prophecy starts in the heart of the father, not in the heart of the prophet. The prophet is a spokesperson. Even Aaron was Moses' prophet. I didn't make that up. The Bible says that. Why? Because Moses heard from God. He couldn't speak, so Aaron spoke for him. You with me? God's vision, prophetic vision. So without God's vision, without seeing what God sees, without the foundations right, we could go off in our own direction and wonder why it doesn't work. See? And it's for life, it's for the church. And so we see this, for example, these words in the prophet Amos. This is what the Lord showed me. Like a vision. And then John, the apostle, in Revelation, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and I was told, go and measure the temple. He saw something. And so what we have here in this is correct your son. Correction is not punishment, by the way. Correction is keeping things on track. I often wondered how those Artemis, which is a Greek goddess, by the way, but I often wonder where they got the name from, I'm not sure. But how does this round tube with a gigantic engine without wings keep going straight up? You ever thought about that? It's because there's lots of little engines that automatically under computer generation keep adjusting. If it's sort of a minor movement one way, there's a bit more thrust from another side. It's called a correction, is it not? It keeps it going in one direction. And so that's what correction is, actually. I notice my daughter does a lot of work for, not employed by now, but a lot of work for the Department of Corrections, which used to be called the Justice Department or the jail system. Corrections is a nice word. I understand what they mean. If this is what they mean, it means we're trying to get people in the right direction, not just punish them. Are you with me? And so what we have here then, with no correction, with nothing to recenter us, we can easily go off track and live randomly or in some ways destructively or unrestrained. Where there is no vision, where there is no correction of the basic principles of God to keep us on track, we will likely live carelessly. We'll go off on track according to our own desires and our own wishes. And we see this again in that scripture to John, which is so powerful verse actually, Revelation 11:1, concerning worship, measure the temple. He says, go, take a reed in your hand, John, and go and measure the temple. What's he measuring? He's measuring the hearts of the people. There's two things happen in this measuring of God. God is measuring our worship. Are we straight up? Is our heart toward the Lord? Are we actually not just singing songs, or are we actually connecting our hearts with the Almighty? Measuring also is a surveying term, is it not? We measure to determine which is our ground and which is the neighbor's. So this measuring also sets apart what is measured for God's ownership. And so these are principles. Next week we're going to talk about the provision of God for the vision of God. But right now we want to talk about these moderating circumstances of God that keep us in the right direction. So it works a little bit like this, my friends. It's not a long message, but I think it's important we see that whatever we do, some things will change. But in everything we do, not everything will change. The church is a place to belong where Jesus Christ is Lord. It does never change. The reason for our worship never changes. The reason for our devotion never changes. That was the problem with the church at Ephesus, was it not? They did everything right. That would make our churches in today's Western world look absolutely brilliant. Ephesus, they did everything right. They could tell false apostles from real ones. They could tell the word of God and discern the word of God. They had perseverance. They kept on going. They didn't stop. But one thing, Jesus said, you've left, not lost, left your first love. What is the first love? Devotion to Jesus. It's actually the motivation. If the motivation becomes a vision, I'm only saying these things now so that we'll always come back, church family, to the reason for our being. That we won't allow a vision to overtake us or take us away from the core motivation, which is the only motivation that will ever please the Lord, and that is our first love for Jesus. Amen? I am quite excited about this because this makes vision more so less something we do and more something we watch. I'm so excited about life. I just see what the Lord has done. I see what I tried to do. I see the money wasted. If you wanted another coffee sometime, I could tell you lots of failures. Most not because God was a failure, but because I was just too quick to get off on my own tangent, you know. Because I used to think, you know, money will solve everything. Well, I'm afraid it doesn't solve much. You can only drink one cup of coffee at a time, my friends. Think about that. But some things will never change, and that's why through all of this, in these exciting days in which we live, with a world out there that needs reaching, with a city that needs reaching, a community in Green Bay that needs reaching, that some things will always remain the same. Our doctrine remains the same. The Apostles' Creed remains the same. Our love for Jesus remains the same. Our love for one another must be furthered but remain untouched. Our unity together as a church family is worth more than all the great things we'll ever do. And ultimately, the great things we do achieve will be because we kept to the sure foundations of the Scripture, to the ordinances of God, to the commands, to the right way of living, to the relational dynamics that set the church apart from the world. These things must be developed for sure, but they never change. So it's always our core vision, isn't it? What do we see? I'll tell you any day. What do you see? What's your greatest dream? That the church is in unity, that there's genuine love. And I don't mean we say, I love you with the love of the Lord and turn away and think, man, I wish I didn't have to say that to that person. No, because it means we understand who we are as a body. It means that for a season I'm doing this and another season I might be doing that. I might be up here one day and sitting at the back another day, but none of that matters because we're a body. This takes quite a bit of grasping. It's not, my fame is not the issue, nor is yours. And these are the foundations that will keep us true. Correct your son. The son in this sense is not just our natural children, which it's true we need to keep them strong to the principle. I mean, I'm an old softy, really. I'm a grandfather now. That makes me even softer. But if our grandchildren play up a little bit, I says it's fun to have fun, but it's not acceptable to be bad, naughty. Because you see, and we keep the foundation. You see, because sympathies. When I was a kid, my mother would never let us eat cake much or have too many sweets. But when she became a grandmother, she wrecked my kids' teeth. No, because we hold firm to foundations. Are you with me? And so let me come to a bit of a close on that. This is just an opening of a pretty much a two-part thing. We might say something more after the day, but what we want, my friends, is to be aware that the basic foundations of Scripture remain always. Apply it to your marriage. Apply it. Remember the vows you took on your marriage day. They still apply today. They have nothing to do with feelings. They have nothing to do with circumstances. Circumstances will always trip us up. As one wise preacher said, we're not under the circumstances, we're over the circumstances. And so the foundations are not based on feelings, are not based on over-emotive sort of connection. It's based on pure devotion to Jesus. Based on the ordinances of his word. Based on the things that really matter as we grow in understanding what it means to be one body. Your gift is my gift. My gift is your gift. Don't get too excited about us who've got reverend before the name. Get excited about being a servant of God. At home, in the neighborhood, when you go to the shops, whatever you're doing, we're all on a ministry journey. Amen? Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for every person here, Lord. I just pray your blessing upon this church, Green Bay Life Church. Amen? Why don't you just open your hearts and let the Lord speak into you right now, just as I pray this blessing, that the blessing of the visions of God will overtake you, that the desire to serve him will be a main thing, to please him in all things. And Lord, I do pray over this people that your word will steady our hearts. Lord, that all that you've called us to will steady our hearts in these days and strengthen us. Lord, that we'll be amazed when we look back in the days ahead to see what you have done. Let us be true to your word. Let us be true to your name. Let us be true to each other, Lord, that your glory might fill this temple. And Lord, when you bring out your measuring stick and measure the temple, you'll find a people whose hearts are toward you, toward each other, Lord, firmly set upon the kingdom of God to come in our presence right now. We give you the praise, O God. We give thee the honor and we declare that the name of Jesus is above every other name. And we will worship that name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.